All right, we are back on the air with you here on 1320. It is just after 9 o'clock, and in studio with us once again for our next installment of some Attleboro history that you may remember or not, we have our exclusive meteorologist, Jim Corbin, along with Dan McKerney, one of our favorite listeners and callers as well. Good morning, guys.
Hello, Don.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's back again. The guys are here once again on our monthly look at back at some of the history in Attleboro. You know, we were just saying, Dan and I were just talking before you came in, Jim, about the Swank Building here in Attleboro.
Yeah, now that's right up the street, right? It's, not right up the street, but it's... Now, they made, and again, as someone who, obviously Dan knows a heck of a lot more than me, but living in Attleboro, I had heard of it. It was big jewelry. Mm-hmm. Is that what they did in that, just exclusively?
It was a jewelry factory. You name it, they turned around. They did a lot of things back with the war, mm-hmm. with pins and pendants and stuff like that. I think they still have a facility. If I'm right, it's over like in Dighton. Uh-huh. They have a building over there, right off of 44.
So, what is Swank? Is that the name of the company, or and they just named the building the Swank Building?
Yeah. I believe.
Or is there another name of the company?
No, it was Swank's, right? That was the name of it, and of course, then it became known as the Swank Building. And for a short time, I don't know if Dominic was around or not, but if you are over here on Forest Street. Well, across from TI, right behind the Kennedy Donovan Center, okay, there's an apartment complex, mm-hmm. right? That used to be a part of Swank's way back in the day, and it was called Dante Building,
oh, okay.
right? So they did a lot of the leather and stuff like that over in that factory. But I think to this day, they still have a building right off of 44, if you're over where the Shaw's is in Taunton and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's out in
Dighton,
the back
Taunton
here in
area.
Dighton. Yep,
yeah.
Dighton, Taunton right there. They
so the company, the remains of the company is still around. They're just not in that Swank Building, which is now being torn down, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was actually incorporated back in 1897. As the Attleboro Manufacturing Company years ago. And at one time, I've actually got a history of them right now online. One time, they actually employed 1,500 people at one point. And the funny thing is, I'm not sure, in fact, I've kind of looked where what it is, who actually was the gentleman? Well, it was Samuel Stone and Maurice Baer actually founded the Attleboro Manufacturing Company, and then I can't see where, if you know who named it Swank. I can't see where if
it's that
so
brick
back
building,
in 1897.
Brick right? The building is brick,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
As opposed
yes.
to some of the others, which I've seen and
yes,
I brought in this book again.
It almost abuts the old Leach and Garner Hallmark Suite.
Okay.
Very close there. And
what street is it on again?
It's on O'Neill Boulevard.
O'Neill Boulevard and Hazel.
Hazel.
Kind of the main yep. the main address.
So it's clustered in with Hazel. Some of the other buildings here, Frank Mossberg, and some of the others that used to be there, right? Isn't that?
Well, Frank Mossberg Drive is down low in Lower County Street, and that's where that company is.
That's where
is,
I so. See it in this, and the other ones, some of the others, they're all. So let me ask you, and Dan probably would know more than Dom, only because he's been there. Has there ever been, well, you probably would too, has there ever been a really large building that in Attleboro that has been torn down or imploded even over the years, 40, 50 years or whatever, like as... Has there been
probably one of the biggest ones would have been over here where Christopher Heights went up, the Bates
Sugarman, and Clink.
Bates and Clinks. That was
So where Christopher Heights is now, there used to be what there?
Two buildings. They were former jewelry manufacturers, and later, back in the 80s, they actually housed caskets for a while for
yep.
some
oh, okay.
local.
I think I heard you talk about
yeah,
there. Someone
some
talk
local,
about
funeral piles. Well, I don't know if they were imploded. I think they were taken
just
down
taken
by,
down, but
just like Balfour. Down. Balfour was taken down brick by brick, and, piece yeah. by piece by construction crews.
Yeah.
I don't think because in this area
behind the Bronson Building, right?
Yes,
that's
right. Because this area has so many people and residents, and places, you really can't explode people. The only, to be honest with you, and Jim, you probably know about this one. back in probably the 80s, I do remember an implosion, Hartford Avenue in Providence, when those former housing projects, they were called the projects, right outside of Oneyville, came down like
is,
that.
Is that the one where they screwed it up? It didn't,
yes,
all, it didn't completely
it didn't
come down?
Yep. Half the way, and it fell, and then they had to take it down piece by piece. And I remember, because I only lived about a mile from that house.
It's like off Route 6 a little bit?
Yes, right. Hartford Avenue, Route 6, yeah.
I remember they kind of joked about the company that tried to kind of screw that up a little bit.
Yeah.
You remember that, Dan?
There were two major buildings that they were there for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, down the line. And they wanted to...
Did you watch it? Did you watch the...
Yes, I did. I actually was down there. They kept us all away. Yeah. They kept us, I don't know, like, you know, like a mile away. But I was only like less than a mile away from it anyway. So I actually walked all the way down to see where it was. And I knew where it was. If I go straight down my street all the way to the very end, it was Hartford Avenue.
Right there, you know. Yeah.
But yeah, I remember that was during the week. It was in the mid-80s, walking down there. And we were by the middle school. Perry Middle School was down there. They kept us back that way, and they actually tried to implode that one, and they could not. Mm-hmm. If for some reason the way the structure was, it actually fell on itself. Yeah. It fell down one side, and the other one just didn't do it. So
most of the time they say they did it better in the old days, but not this time.
Yeah,
they,
exactly.
This will basically be. Probably, well, in my lifetime and what I know of, about the third building that'll be coming down in Attleboro.
Uh-huh. Balfour.
Balfour.
This one and...
Swanks. And then Bates.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Was the name of the other building, Bates and Clink, and the...
Now, what's Clink? What's that?
Clink was the another portion of the was like, another gentleman, actually. It was
that was
Bates
part
and
owner.
Clink.
Yep.
Yeah, it was
part of what building that came down? Which one?
It was where Christopher Heights is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
with the caskets.
There was two buildings. Yeah. Was the Bates and Clink building was one building.
Yep.
And the other one, I can't think of the name of the second one.
Sugarman?
Sugarman, yes, yes. Max Sugarman.
Yep.
Max Sugarman was a funeral director in Providence. Actually had a company on Hope Street. He had the Sugarman Chapel right there on Hope Street, where the new CVS is now. That was I actually worked in that area before years ago. But, yeah, they had that company way back then as well. But, yeah, there's been so other, many other things. Now, I don't remember. I think I kind of do remember when where CVS is now on North Main Street.
Yep.
Where was that?
Oh, yeah, that was another factory over there, too. Oh,
and
boy.
I can think it. It's in my head, and I can't think of it offhand.
Did it have something with Blackington in it?
No. Actually, Nancy Young used to work there.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I can't.
But it was torn down.
Yep, yeah, that
not
was
with
down.
Implosion. Just they knocked it down.
It was torn down.
Wrecking
yeah.
ball or whatever
yeah.
kind of.
I
thing.
Know someone out there will email me for that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I know that. I can see it. I can see the name actually.
Yeah, because it was a white building.
Yeah, exactly.
Big white building.
Because in that area, it was claimed to be a contamination on that land when they were doing that.
Yep.
But.
There's a lot of the people that were working in there. They'd have a nice view with the old windows that they used to have there. They could look, you know, right out onto the
North Main Street.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Well, yeah, North Main Street, and they could also could look into the water there in the cemetery.
Now,
was right
what was
there.
The company? I know the last time we talked about this, but as someone who doesn't know as much, the contamination by the Norton line where it's in the ground. What was the company that was doing that? Do you know?
I don't know the company,
or
but
whatever.
I know that was right abutted next to the Attleboro.
Right by the power lines.
Yeah, the Attleboro landfill, yeah. And that was the Norton Shepak. They turn around,
yeah.
And that was their
dump. And now
their
it floods at times, whatever.
In fact, speaking of that, there's also, if you may remember, some years ago before Cardi's went into South Attleboro, the Shepak landfill in that area also was, they had contamination down there. They cleaned all that out right off of the 95 Newport Avenue, and that's where Cardi's furniture is right now.
Yeah.
It's probably in those situations that the land is probably cheaper, you know, for Cardi's, not just Cardi's, but any other people that go in, build on land like that, because they figure people, you know, companies might not want to build on land like that, so they probably got a good price for that spot right
yeah.
off of, you know, right
the
at
the
end.
The only thing Cardi's had a little run in after, because I believe that they took a few more trees down than what they were supposed to.
Yeah, they did.
So you can see the sign off the highway.
Well, right. I mean, that's what you want. You want to be able to see the sign, but...
But I think it was part of...
were they fined?
I don't know
all?
If it was conservation or, There was something to do with that. Cardi's had to turn around and deal with after, because for some reason, whoever they hired, they went in and they just kind of cut a little bit further than they should have.
But they let the city let it go?
I think eventually, you know, they made nice. And like I said, whatever it was, if they had to plant some things back, they did. Everything was good.
What about, and I know you both have mentioned this, that I forget because although I live very close to it, the shopping center there, there was a Holiday Inn, right, where the Home Depot is. Now, did they tear that down?
Yes.
Yep.
So that was another tear down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then so the Home Depot is not the building just made into a Home Depot.
Now,
how many stories roughly was that, would you say?
The Holiday Inn was like two or three stories.
Yeah. And it was huge because it was almost like a...
So it was bigger in length than where the Home Depot is now. In other words, it was longer than the Home Depot.
Yeah, it was like one full size, and I think there was two sides over. It was almost like a big U.
It was very close to Newport Ave.
Yeah.
And
so it's like where the McDonald's is now. It probably was part of that.
No, it was really close to Newport Ave, almost on the street.
Yeah, it was almost in the center, and most of it was coming out. And then,
so where the Olive Garden is, it was probably that area?
Yeah, very close to where Olive Garden was.
Dan will know this. They had, in fact, it was one of our local sponsors here at 1320 back in the 80s. They had a very famous lounge, Brinkley's. Brinkley's Lounge, which had meals, very, very good meals in there. And they were a constant advertiser with us. Every weekend, our salespeople would one of our saleswomen would have me read a new piece of copy. They would have, a lounge singer, and you could get dinner and appetizers there. And I've actually, in fact, I think about a month or two prior of it being leveled, the very last wedding that I actually DJed in that building was Sun Chronicles' Jim Hand.
Oh.
Jim Hand got married in there about a month or two before they
leveled. So that would have been roughly what year that they finally leveled?
Last year, he just lost his wife, Kim, who actually worked with Inland Cable years ago. Kim, I want to say now about 26, 27 years ago. So it's about a good 27 years ago.
So it was, if you were going down 95 then, or back and forth, then it was a prominent thing as you're going on the highway.
That was the place that you were going to put up in this area was the Holiday Inn, and then all of a sudden business started
Was that probably decline. Considered the largest, you know, hotel or whatever in Attleboro?
I would say that, Attleboro and South Attleboro.
Would be another one? Was there another well-known hotel, not just a little motel?
In Attleboro, we had to go way back when to the Archway Hotel that they had here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was really, everything was in North Attleboro, but it was all small places. You had like the Pineapple Inn, you had the main motel.
You also have, which is now called the Attleboro Inn, the Old Days Inn, which is still sitting and still people are going there, at the Pawtucket South Attleboro line right next to Vista Donuts.
That still is a Days Inn though, right?
No, it's called the Attleboro Inn now. They changed with the last four
or five
years.
Days Inn's gone down?
The gentleman,
it used to be the Days Inn.
Yeah. And the gentleman that runs that is still with it.
Now, how long has Vista Donuts right on the line been? Has that been there forever?
They've been there for a long time. Yeah. I mean, I know one of the daughters, June Pawlowski. Originally, they were called, way back when, they were called Mr. Donut.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and we're talking back as a kid. So
probably, that was a chain. That
40,
was a chain.
40, 40 50 years ago. It, and then it's the Pawlowski family that owns it. Then they turn around and they changed it, and it was called Vista Donut. And I believe, no, I haven't seen her in years, but I went to school with June, and I think that her, and I'm not sure if it's part of her family, but they just opened up the Burger Bar, which is down on Newport Avenue.
Was that Pawtucket, I think?
It's called the Burger Bar.
In Pawtucket, right?
Yeah, in Pawtucket, and it's close to Armistice Boulevard. It used to be the old Alexion's restaurant.
Yeah, I remember that. But
then
the
it became a kindergarten place.
Is it the left or the right-hand side going down Newport Avenue?
If you're going down Newport Avenue, it'll be on the left-hand side.
Next to CVS. Yep.
Next to CVS, and then right next door. Well, it used to be competition. Alexion's was on one side, and then the Beef Hoff, which the Goulet family had, used to be on the other side.
Interesting.
Yeah. As you said, there's just so much, businesses that were here in the city of Attleboro. It's amazing how people sometimes they forget what was here and what was there. Going up on West Street, the old Roberts Ford. You know, another player. Now, Roberts
Nurnies.
Ford. Yeah, exactly.
It was Nurnies. Ford. Rod Nurney.
That's right. Roberts Ford used to be, now is where there's a condos over there now, kind of right on the corner of West Street and North Avenue, where Mako is now over there, and then they got
there's a brick building with a place with the employment place in is it located in that? What am I thinking of?
He's thinking of Mechanic Street. The old
well, they're still there.
But if you went past that, okay, if you went past where you're thinking, okay, Mechanic Street, and then there's a bunch of condos there. There used to be another factory called Clearfloat. You keep going down to the end of that road, okay, you're going to come out to West Street. If you were to take a right, and you'll go right down, and that's where the old Nurney Ford used to be,
okay,
and across, right, National Grid is in there, Mako's in there. There's a lot of little shops. Bust and Box years ago? Mm-hmm. They used to turn around and be in there. Yeah, they were a box manufacturer, you know, jewelry box.
And now was that raised, or is it just converted?
No, the building's everything's still there, but it's all changed. People have come and gone through the years.
You know, and the other one that I'm thinking of now is, a building that's actually been there for God knows how long, and it's still there doing very well, Lamco, here in downtown Attleboro. I mean, that old building here is now houses two or three other different businesses.
Yep.
You know, there's
Where's that?
Right at the corner of County and Wall Street, right near the bus station here in Attleboro.
Lamco, okay.
Lamco Appliance. Yeah. They've been there for God knows how long. I mean, 34 Wall Street, is their address there.
Has it always been
upstairs?
Just that furniture and stuff or whatever it is?
Yeah, appliances.
Appliances
for a number of years, yeah. I'm not sure what else is housed in that building because they have you see a lot of the 18-wheel trucks actually try to go underneath the building that's on the side of it across from Eli's, because it's a delivery area underneath there. But that is not for them. Their delivery for Lamco is actually on Wall Street side across from Cumberland Farms there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan, you remember this, and you living in Attleboro for a short time too, Jim, is the old police station right here in Attleboro.
On Wall Street.
The building now is, all those buildings will be torn down.
Where did the police station used to be?
Originally, it was on Wall Street, right
by
behind Lamco. Yeah, a little small building right there.
Lamco. So if you were on the street now, it would be behind Lamco, so you couldn't see it from the street.
No, it's still visible.
There's still a building.
It's right on the right-hand side.
Whatever way you're coming on Wall Street,
it's actually
visible.
Currently housing that area with the DPW yard, which down the line, in late this year, everything is being moved to the old APCO Mossberg site, which is on Lamb Street.
You're going down Wall Street with Lamco coming up on the left, it's just before that on the left.
The front of the building is still there. It's visible.
What is it now? What's in there now?
It's intact, but what they did on the side of the building, they put a door in, and they house trucks and stuff like that in there.
And that's going to be close by to this new
The Riverfront Drive.
The Riverfront Drive is going to go near that, right?
Yeah, that will be right. Yep. That'll be coming. And I drive around those that in that area every single day, and going up onto Olive Street, which they're constantly working. I mean, every single day. And the other thing is that we just had a AACS meeting here last night for the board of directors. The new highway yard on Lamb and Thatcher Street is nearly completed. Almost. I mean, it's not quite done yet, but that building is almost the size of a football field. It's amazing
how the trucks and sand
trucks,
and salt and all
the
that.
Heated floors. They needed the heated floor. And then behind where all the trucks are, originally they were going to have a drive-through so they can go in and out. In and out, but they couldn't do it because of the train tracks. And I just heard that out last night.
Were they ever thinking of putting a little bridge over the train tracks for those?
That I have not. No, I didn't hear that. That would actually have been not a bad idea. I think it would be kind of dangerous to do that, though.
Well, now I remember this was brought up, I don't know, a month or so ago with someone that was on the heat. They want the heated floors because why?
I think it's just because of the they can.
So the diesel, I think, is that something to do?
They're all diesel engines.
So the diesel engines don't you know, they need it helps the, with the heat starting up, right?
Yeah,
bad weather
and,
or whatever.
Yeah, and plus, you know, you're not going to get salt, ice in there. So, but you know, when the trucks go in and out of there, you're gonna, you know, it's also good to melt all that sand.
It's going
to
be a lot easier far as a cleanup, because usually after you come back after a storm, right, with a salt and sand truck, right, it's really a mess.
Yeah.
And within no time, you really have to turn around and wash that, like just like your car, because if you don't, even though a lot of that is stainless steel, all the components that are inside that, right, they start to turn around and give away and rot out. So it'll be better for the city long term far as their trucks, because it's just like years ago, they used to go with standards. Now pretty much everything's an automatic. So having that heated floor, that's just going to melt that much quicker. It'll be an easy cleanup. I would assume they probably have nice drains set up in there and stuff like that. So it's in the long term, it's more of the modern future, you know, modern technology.
Yeah, it's also good now because they've got this brand new facility, and now Attleboro just hired its brand new DPW chief from Pawtucket recently within the last few months. So, you know, and Ron Dubuque, who was the acting superintendent for you know, after
John Clover
left for medical reasons, but now you know we got these other people doing a great job, and all the men and women that work with the highway yard. I think this is I think it's going to be really good to see this. You know, but
so what was where the former highway yard was? What's there now? In other words, where was it before?
The highway yard
has always been the highway yard.
The highway yard is now
the new one. That used to be APCO Mossberg. That was a factory there.
Where was the...
The
one they're still using, they haven't finished this one
right
now.
Right,
so
right.
And so where is the one that they're still using?
Right around
now?
The corner here, at the next behind Lamco, right next
behind Lamco,
in that
on
area
Wall Street.
Where the old police department.
Oh, okay.
That's the current highway yard right there.
What's that going to change to then?
The Riverfront Drive.
So they're just going to take the land to make the drive.
Yeah, because the streets and the sidewalks are actually already in there.
Is that why then? And again, as someone who you know doesn't know as much as you guys, they want to do the south side of Renaissance, and there's still some stuff in the ground that they have to get rid of. Was there some sort of a building there? You know, they want to put right by the train, you know, where the new train and buses come in.
He's talking about where the old barn used to be.
The
old barn.
But the old barn did not contribute to any bad things going into the ground, right?
I don't think so.
So why is it that there's some issue where they have to clean it up?
And before it was called the old barn, it was called Conlon and Donnelly.
Conlon and Donnelly, yeah.
Before that.
Yeah, Jim Conlon merged with, I forget the guy's name, Donnelly, but then...
But what's the reason, though, that they have to clean it up? Before they can put something in there.
I think there may have been a few things in the ground that I'm not sure of.
I think what it was is automatic machine.
That's right, yes. Automatic machine had all of its...
And I believe at one time they had like a big old fuel tank
that was
outside.
Right. So that was separate from the old barn building, though.
Right. It could have been where maybe some of that turned around
and
spilled.
That's right. It was where the old barn is, then they had their little delivery area. And right, I remember that there was the automatic machines, and then there was the driveway, and that's where the entrance to the highway yard was. That's right. I do remember that.
Yep.
And that didn't come down that long ago. Probably in the late 90s, early 2000.
And it really was looking to stay there in a way, right? And what happened was automatic machine, right? They were looking for some sort of a tax break, I guess, and they couldn't get it here, so they ended up moving to Taunton, and that's where they went.
Yeah.
And across the street, used to turn around and have the other part of automatic machine, and then used to have, years ago, it was called Campbell's Garage. They were chucked.
The other side of Wall Street?
Yep. They were chucked.
Would that be on the corner where the gas station is? Yeah. Was it Cumberland Farms on the corner? Was that?
It was behind, where Cumberland Farms is. Yeah. It would have been
the next
behind,
one up.
Behind it where the river, the river's there, but it would have been behind it on the other side.
It would be on the other side. It would be on, is that still county? Would that be still County Street right there?
You turn around, you'd be on, it would have the front where Campbell's was, it was on the South Main, the corner of South Main and Wall.
Okay.
Kind of where the Renaissance Station is now, next to Christopher Heights.
Okay.
But Campbell's had that, and that back in the day, that was a gas station, you know, with repairs and all.
I've seen
and then
pictures of
it was
the
connected
Attleboro Industrial
in
Park.
With automatic
the Industrial
machine.
Museum has pictures of that in there. Yeah, that's right. You're right. I don't remember it. The closest thing I do remember is the old Sugarman and Bates and Clink building when that went down like 15 years ago, probably 15, 16 years ago at least, because, about 15, 16 years ago, because when I was doing some music there a few years ago at over the Christopher Heights, they said they were just celebrating their 10th anniversary, and that's going to be at least four or five years ago. So, yeah.
And there was word, too, now where we were just talking about where Campbell's Garage was and then the back part of Automatic Machine, they were trying to take, and the gentleman, his name's John Dasquin, he's with Cobalt Industries. He was the one that was instrumental with Scorpios and stuff. They were thinking of trying to purchase that part, and they wanted to make a brewery and a pub in there. But
they're also... with the mayor's cityscape, I know that from Scorpios and Sangrias down, not including those buildings, from like where the Chinese restaurant is all the way up to the former Kidstown, this year is actually going to all be raised up as well. So they're gonna
I heard that from the
renovate.
Mayor.
They're gonna renovate all that. And I was thinking,
and what are they gonna put in there? Do you know?
Supposedly, I mean, it's not carved in stone. Supposedly, I heard that they may put another Renaissance Station building here as well.
Was that Crugnali? Is that the guy?
Yeah, probably. Crugnali.
So he'd have three possibly.
Yeah,
then.
Basically.
Because I noticed just coming in, actually, it's funny, I was going to ask about that, just you know, coming from Mansfield, so I was coming south on Pleasant Street. When you get to that light, there's a couple of places that really look abandoned there, right on the corner up
here.
Yeah,
on the
corner. The door is all like, there's a white X on the door.
One of the buildings are being housed is the taxi cab service.
Taxi cab, that's where that
is. Uses one of those buildings. Yep. There's another key
place. That used to be a tailor shop back in the day.
Right, exactly.
But it looks like it's kind of starting to get in a kind of rough shape. It's almost like they know they're going to be going soon.
Yeah, the nail salon's there.
Sometime after the springtime, I think they're going to start looking at that right now.
Because back in the day,
and it might be something just like with the Renaissance, might be something like that.
Yeah, because the current building now, which has a few tenants now as well, and the building are going to be across the street from it. They're going to be kind of, it's going to be having, I think it's going to house tickets for trains as well, I think, a little small cafe, restaurant, and then other businesses there. But the third one that they want to do is right up the street here.
And would that be some retail as well, do you think?
I believe so, yeah, because they want to do this whole thing. I think the mayor wants to start it sometime this year, going into the following year. It's going to take a while. I mean, these buildings here, it doesn't take overnight to do them, as you know.
Absolutely.
But it's probably going to take another couple of years at least to do this. You know, and then the other important thing going up, of course, you know, the new condos, more new condos going up right aside of the new Sports Village on Commerce Way. You know, I just drove by there the other night, and I'm saying, like, my God, you know, this, all these other, I mean, these condos that are there now that probably about 90%, 95% occupied. Then you're going to have some new ones across the way. And then the Sports Village, you know, and all these, you know, the Olympic-sized pools and the hotel and things.
And there's supposed to be a hotel eventually.
Oh, my God. I mean, of new jobs will be going out there in the next few years as well.
The only thing I'd be sad is to see, I know the buildings are kind of old and kind of run down, but the nostalgic of it, I mean, you know, where the Chinese restaurant, that used to be the old Hegney's restaurant. Hmm. Right, it was two brothers that turned around and ran
you
that.
You mean right up the street here on the
right,
corner?
Right, where the Chinese, that Fortuna or whatever they call it, they're right there. Yeah, you used to be able to go in there, and it was kind of like a Moran's Diner type of thing, you know, with booths and stuff.
Now, was that related to Kyle Hegney's family?
I'm not sure if it is or not. I honestly can't say if it is or not, but it was just a great little place. You go in and you get your homemade meatloaf, you know, with the mashed potatoes and gravy and the chicken pot pie and all the different, they had that. And then where the Sun Market is right there, that used to be the old Siddell's
television store.
TV. And in between used to have the little store Densmore's. Craig Forgett's family turned around and they ran
all
that.
That is,
a
that's
bakery
not like
there.
That. Doesn't seem like that's a large area of built, like it's only like all one floor, right? So I'm surprised they were able to get all that in there. In that
corner. Like I said,
you got that whole area, the parking lot behind there, because
that now is Scorpio's.
Scorpio's and Sangria's parking lot is back there too. So I don't know how what they're going to do.
Jim, back in the day, you got to remember when we're walking back, like when I was a kid, right? You know, probably 30, 40 years ago. Okay, right? You had a lot of traffic up in the center of town as far as walking. It wasn't as many cars. People did a lot.
So do you remember worse traffic jams now than before? You know, 30, 40 years ago in downtown Attleboro, do you remember the traffic being I mean, I know from this book I've read, and you know, that there used to be like a traffic thing in the middle of the, right in the middle there, right divided.
At, yep. Yeah, that was,
that was like 75 years ago,
sure,
or something. But
sure.
Do you remember it being worse traffic in Attleboro 30 or 40 years ago, or the same, or better now?
Well, I don't
because
think
lights
it was.
And everything.
It was worse traffic. I just think the downtown was more busier. With,
because
I mean,
it had stores were still open.
They had the stores, yep. Right? They had the Wednesday night. I mean, you go downtown on a Wednesday night, right? And it was lit up like a Christmas tree, uh-huh. Right? There were stores, yeah. You know,
remember
the
also,
banks.
Didn't they have some sort of a thing every week or every month?
Every month they used to have the,
where you could walk around
the and, sidewalk sales. And then
yeah,
before that was the Wednesday night market after
sure.
That.
Sure.
Did you ever attend that and go there?
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. I mean, like I said, during the summer, right, in July, you know, to generate business, they'd have mm-hmm. sidewalk sales. And, I mean, you go from London's all the way down to Salzman's, Silman's, I mean, the Gob Shop. I mean, you just kept on going. Mm-hmm. And that's how the old Woolworth Woolco was there. And they'd have sidewalk sales. So I think it was a lot busier far as your one-stop shopping.
Why, back in my day, we'd take the horse and buggy past the old Balfour factory, pick up our milk and eggs, and then go to the Wednesday markets. And that's the way we liked it. See you, Ted.
I wonder who the heck that was.
Who was that? Who was that?
That masked man.
A masked man.
Yeah, really. Yeah, and Paul makes a good point there as far as the Wednesday markets. You know, the Wednesday markets, you know, back way back then, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they were always, you know, attended by a lot of people. I remember.
So in the summer, right?
Generally, yeah, the summer, yeah. July, August, thereabouts. I want to say it was, because I remember when I first was hired at WARA back in 84, 84, 85 is when they had the sidewalk sales. I remember that because we actually did a live remote from a Winnebago trailer out there right in front of Silman's.
Yep.
And that was in the mid-80s. It was myself and a couple of other people. I was actually new to the station. It was only on the air for about a month or two. And we started to do and they said, you want to be part of the sidewalk sales. And I was doing 8 to midnight that day, and I remember coming down. I said, and before I went on the air, I came down, I think like 6 o'clock. Oh, no, it started at 5. So I came down around 5:15, and I was on the air for about a half hour because I had to come back to the Bronson building. And then later on, back in the 90s, when they started doing the Wednesday night markets, you know, that was always a great time, especially you. Being on the fifth floor of the Bronson building, we would have a camera, you know, from the top looking down, or I would sometimes go up on the roof of the building and take video looking down. And it was just amazing. And then the fun thing is, back when they finished it, when it wasn't, I was out of steam, when Jack Lank was running it, with Lisa Bukoff from the, she was formerly with the Chamber of Commerce, I think Lynn Sherman was also working with them as well. She was from North Attleboro. And I think it was the final year, for the last couple of years, for the last 2 years of it, they asked me to DJ it on every Wednesday night. So I would go out there for the full 4 or 5 hours. And I think it was 2003, maybe, or 2002, 2003, the final year, or maybe 2004, because I left the Bronson building in 2005 when the cable company shut down. So I think they were just finishing that. So I think it might have been the last year was 2004, because they were actually going to start again for the following year. It might have been 05 or 06. And that's when I was taken out. I was, you know, we shut the buildings down. But Jack asked me to be the chairman of the Wednesday night market for the final year. And yeah, so that happened to be 2005 for the final year. And that's when they, because I, in 2004 season, I went to all of the vendors while I was there DJing. I put some music on and I went to all the vendors and introduced myself. Jack said, why don't you come over here, this and that person. And like, because Dominic is actually going to co-chair this next year. And I thought, great, I'd love to do this. And unfortunately, that never came because they lost the money. The people didn't wanted to change it over. Originally, they wanted to change it right across from the Balfour Riverwalk Park. They wanted to go up the hill a little bit and do the cars sideways, you know, with the old cars, but that never went to fruition. The vendors didn't want that, so the money wasn't there anymore, so they ended up canceling the Wednesday night markets back then. And I was actually.
So it's been about 10 years since they left?
Yeah, yeah, probably. Yeah, it's at least. Yeah, it's got to be 10 years.
So it went
years.
For a figure, while, though.
Well, you figure for almost 50, 60 years from way back when, you'd go up to the center of town on a Wednesday night and all the stores would be open late, the banks and all that, mm-hmm. to then have them to the Wednesday night market. So for 40, 50 years plus, you had something. In the last 10 years, we haven't had. Had anything, and it was on a Wednesday night that
would people walk up to it, or could you drive and there was like a parking lot where you could park and then walk up?
Basically, you were shut off right over at the corner here of where the liquor store is on Park Street. You could come up Emory, but then the police would stop you and they'd direct you to take a right onto Pleasant Street, and then you were cut off at Bank, you were cut off at Newport, you were cut off at Rogue County.
Yeah, you had you had areas to park. I mean, not as much parking.
What was where the Stop and Shop is now on Pleasant Street? What was there? Was that an open lot?
The Stop and Shop? Way back when there was a Anderson, it wasn't Anderson, it was, Lance was there, and before that it was Anson. Anson was there.
That was a little bit further up on the left-hand side.
But to go to
that was up a little further on the left-hand side where
Stop and Shop.
Yeah, where Anderson Chrysler Plymouth used to be. Now it's the other place now.
Right, but Anderson Chrysler Plymouth that used to turn. That's where it is. Where that lady that owned the Shell station, mm-hmm. she's still there.
Yes,
but it used to be called Anson.
Right,
that was a dealership. You had the community package store was there. Tucked behind it was Joy Hing Restaurant. The
Pleasant Pharmacy,
used to turn around
where CVS is out there on the left hand side was Pleasant Pharmacy.
Pleasant Pharmacy, yep.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't. It's always as far as you can remember though. It's never been open space where people could pull in and park in a lot and then just.
No. Where the old Pleasant Pharmacy is, right? It used to be originally the mm-hmm. first one right next to it. That's that vacant lot there now. That used to be Walter's Meat Market there back in the heyday.
That's right. You mentioned that before.
Yeah.
And prior to that, in that same area where the Rockland Trust, I think that was that was D'Angelo's before
D'Angelo's,
that.
D'Angelo's, Pizza Hut, and way before then, they even had a building there that the Caruso's had that you could go for your hair.
I do remember Wendy's there as well.
Wendy's was there too.
And right where Rockland Trust is now.
Near the McDonald's?
Yeah, right.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
No, you're closer to the Stop and Shop. Where Rockland Trust is now, the corner of Forest and 123, that used to be Chinatown Gardens. That used to be a great restaurant. They had like a California room you could actually walk into. And I'm talking bright the late 80s, early 90s. You had a nice California room to look out, to the street. And they were always packed in the afternoon. You almost could not get a seat in there.
It used to be Burger Chef and Jeff used to be there.
Right, exactly.
Now, further out, I don't know, Dom, if you have to go to a break or whatever.
In a minute or two,
I have a question for you. Especially because I always, when I visit my friends down there in South Attleboro, over by Briggs Corner, there's the house that's right on the corner of 123 and Pike Ave. It's like a house that's been there, and it has looked like it used to be a farmhouse.
I know what you're talking about.
You know the house? It's right on the corner. If you're going out of Attleboro, still in Attleboro, 123, take a right on Pike Ave, and then there's it looks like a farmhouse.
Spatcher.
Did you ever know of the people that were in that?
The Spatchers.
Really?
Yeah, that was that's George.
So long term,
George Spatcher's father, wasn't it?
George Spatcher.
The horses occasionally there.
Yeah. Horses and all that.
I remember that the walk around they had out there for the horses over there. George Spatcher, I think
it's still in the family now.
Yes, it is. He was at one time. I think he was a House of Representative way back when.
I believe because the Spatcher Pool on North Avenue was named after him. It's a state run pool.
He was good friends with Maxwell Terror, I believe.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Going way back, and then one of the daughters, Mrs. She turned around, and she was a teacher over at the high school. But they still own that. They have the horses because they were talking. They were having problem with hunters, and they have it posted over there. No hunting there, and that was brought to light. They did a story in the Attleboro Sun that people were over there hunting, and they didn't want them because that was on their property, and they had the horses, and they were still. Yeah, it's still functional over there.
Good.
All right, we got to take a break here just for a few moments here. We've got Dan McKerney and Jim Corbin here in studio with us talking about some old history. If you remember some history, if you want to give us a shout-out, 508-222-1320.
New Hope will present the 8th Annual Moonlit Wine, Beer, and Food Tasting at Briggs Garden and Home, located on Kelly Boulevard in North Attleboro, on Saturday, January 30th at 7 o'clock p.m. This elegant evening will be staged on a starlit terrace. There'll be a variety of wines, craft beer, and fine foods. However, tickets for this event must be purchased in advance. For more information, visit the web at www.new-hope.org.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Kids Club is a support group for children ages 5 to 13 that are dealing with loss. The next group will meet on Saturday, January 30th at Community VNA, located on Emory Street in Attleboro, from 9:30 a.m. till noon. Grief specialists will guide children with therapeutic art and storytelling while sharing in a safe, supportive atmosphere. Pre-registration is required, however. For more information, visit the web at www.communityvna.com. Sturdy Memorial Hospital will hold its annual Heart Health Fair in conjunction with National Wear Red Day to raise awareness for heart disease prevention in women. This informative event will be held on Friday, February the 5th from 7 till 10:30 a.m. in conference rooms A, B, and C at the hospital located on Park Street in Attleboro. This event will feature health screenings, general health information, exercise information, samples of heart-healthy food, refreshments, and so much more. For more information, call 508-236-8020.
You make sure his toys don't have any sharp edges. You taught her what to do when the smoke alarm goes off. You do so much to keep your child safe. But are you using the right car seat for your child? Car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. For information on the right seat for your child, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Rehoboth Garden Club will welcome herbalist Bonnie Cavanaugh to present an enlightening program called Kitchen Cupboard Medicine, using spices from A to Z. This event will be held on Monday, February 8th at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Seekonk Public Library located on Newman Avenue. For more information, feel free to call the library at 508-336-8230.
Hi, I'm Britney Spears. I've had the pleasure of singing all over this great nation, but today I'm lending my voice to the 15 million kids in America struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while 1 in 5 children may be left without enough food for a meal. But it doesn't have to be this way. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks helps to get food to families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to learn how you can help. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here on 1320. Dan McKerney and Jim Corbin are here. We just remembered and went online the building that we were talking about, the old R.F. Simmons Company, where Nancy Young used to work years ago. That is, of course, where the CVS is. And as you mentioned, the pond back there.
Simmons Pond.
The old Simmons
That's
Pond.
It. Everybody goes fishing there, or they go across the street where Nobby Crafters was, mm-hmm. and they call that Simmons Pond.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the place right there that they had some problems with some of the land there, and so they ended up cleaning all that up. I'm looking at Jim has got something. What is he looking
R.F.
at?
R.F. Simmons.
R.F. Simmons.
Which building are you looking
at? The top one. The top picture right here.
On the left?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. The R.F. Simmons Company. Right. Okay. Yep. 191 North Main Street. is actually.
And so, what did they? That was jewelry as well, or
jewelry?
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
Seems jewelry. Like almost the entire city
See,
was just jewelry.
When I think of R.F. Simmons, the first thing I think of is mattresses. Simmons mattresses.
Sure.
I wonder if they, you know, I know that sure. there were jewelry back then.
So that is where now roughly the CVS is.
Yes.
Yes.
That entire land yes. was CVS.
And it was
now.
It was a big white building, uh-huh. right? With like white and black.
And
had
they
a lot
smoke
of windows
stack, right?
like
they
it shows.
Yeah, smokestack.
Smaller smokestack, yep.
Yep, with a smokestack, yep. And years ago, now if you know where the veterinarian clinic is right there. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Right before the veterinary clinic, it was a travel agency, and before the travel agency, way
KFC.
Back when, it was a Shell station.
Oh, it was.
The KFC is where
Attleboro House of Pizza.
Is.
I remember that. That
yep.
was in the
so
80s.
KFC was there, and then originally that was a Shell station. Then it became a travel, and now it's a veterinarian clinic.
Right, Attleboro Veterinary.
Now I see a picture in the book, and I know it was radio, but Pine and Dunham Streets, is that still there?
Pine and Dunham, is that the Attleboro Union Theater?
It's got to be right up the street.
Oh, Pine and Dunham.
And Dunham. Oh, right. That's where.
That's the old Inglehart.
Yeah, that's over. That's actually
that's
right
still,
there on the
that
corner.
Still has
yeah.
not
yeah,
been
back
written.
Of the building.
Right, right. Basically, yeah. Or
right
the front of the building.
Yep.
Front of the building.
That's what is that?
So that is
Terrace
still,
Garden. What do they call that over there?
Garden Terrace.
Garden Terrace.
Gardner Terrace.
But and this one is the Frank Mossberg. Is that's still around? Or
that's I think that's the one over here in front of us. Is that say Union Street?
Frank Mossberg and Company.
Right over here with his, what's the one that's right over here with next to these new condos that were built, but they stopped
yes.
part of it? And right across the street, there's something. Right over, like right.
The one that's on this side, that's Gardner Terrace.
Those new went up, but they didn't finish it because they didn't have enough.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
They were built maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
Right over. Yeah, I know.
And then across the street, there's one of these large buildings.
Yeah.
There. Is that?
That's the one that's right out.
Is that this one?
This one's right out.
It's
this
be,
is
yeah.
right out here.
Yeah.
And then this
the
one
Union
is still
Theater.
Around, probably looks a little different, right?
But Do you remember Johnny Max?
Yes.
Johnny Max was right over here in front of all those buildings that you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Right here at the corner of
And before
Dunham
it was Johnny Max, it was Gus's Grill.
Gus's Grill. Okay.
Gus's Grill back
what
in the
day. What about in this book again? I'm just because I like history, even though I haven't lived in it. They show us some diners. What are some of the diners that you can remember?
There was diners, but before we get to that one second,
no.
I told Dominic before I came in, literally, there's three streets. If you were to go out here on O'Neill Boulevard, mm-hmm. okay, and then you come over to Pine Street here, and you come on to Union Street. I was talking with my son the other day. Literally, there is probably 40 or plus more businesses that are no longer, mm-hmm. they don't even exist anymore that they did just many, many years ago. But the diners, those were up in the center of town. You were on Bank Street and you had Bonnie's Diner. You were on Railroad Ave and you had Watson's Diner.
Now, Franklin Diner started on Wall Street?
Which one?
Franklin Diner.
Yeah, that was part of Morin's, yep,
right.
Back in the heyday. So you had the three of them. You had
that was across from right. If I remember correctly, I remember seeing an old Franklin dining car, which is right beyond the railroad bridge here on Railroad Avenue, years ago back in the mid. I'm talking mid 80s, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, we had quite a few of them. Bonnie's was right down on Bank Street. And then Watson's, like I said, was chucked in behind mm-hmm. Morin's. And if you were at Webster Bank, the parking lot, you'd look right across the street. And that's where Watson was. And then, like I said, the Franklin, right,
yeah.
as you're coming under the underpass there, right, it would be almost you'd be looking up at the train station
yep.
where that was.
That's right. I remember that one.
Sure.
Yeah.
There was, I think in this book it shows an old diner right off County Street, on County Street, Mulroney's. Diner, does that ring a bell?
County Street?
Whereabouts?
It was just south of the downtown on County Street. If you're going into the downtown, it was on the left. There's a picture of it in here.
I wonder if that's got to be Coney Island Hot Dogs.
There's a pic. I'll get it in here. Keep talking.
Could have been in that area.
It could have been. But originally, that was over here by the post office. Well, it was out here.
Okay.
It was across from Siddell's TV.
Huh. Okay.
Back in the heyday.
So a lot of these buildings were built after the fire, right? And the book also talks about the fire.
Yep.
On Herrick's Corner, it was called.
What
which
was it?
On Herrick's Corner. Well, here's the view. Here's the fire. Again, there's great radio here. But Herrick's Corner was where now Morin's and then going around to the right, where I think you've told me Sans Souci was. That all burned down in the fire of 19...
So you're basically talking around, he's talking about Gilbert Perry Square in that area, probably.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, CP.
Like I said, that when you call it Herrick's Corner, that would have been way before.
It was Herrick's Corner.
Yeah.
This burned down again, but right where near Sanssouci, and then there was this guy Herrick. It said at the corner of County Park North, South Main Street, the jeweler, what else is new, and optician George Herrick's business gave its name to this downtown location.
All right, we do have a call on the air. If here on the line right now, let's see if they can add a couple of things for us. Good morning.
All you need is to have Tom Rafferty there so you can get him permanently lost. You have to know how foolish you sound. Point to this, point to that. Hello, pay attention.
Yeah, talking who are you basically mentioning that to?
Well, any of you.
Well,
Tom Rafferty is known for getting lost.
Well, that is for sure, and Paul Healy too.
But he does a lot of traveling too, so there's more of a chance of getting lost because he drives hundreds of miles a day.
But. And I in fact, I don't even have the book in front of me. They're looking at the book. I don't have anything in front of me at all, to be honest.
Looking towards...
That's all right. Pay attention. I am.
I'm glad you are, Bruce.
I'm going to follow your directions. I'll be lost for days.
Just follow Tom Rafferty. That's all you need to do, right?
The Bronson building will be up on the wall.
All right, Bruce. Thanks. Okay, go get him.
Really?
My God, I sound like Paul Healy now.
Go get him.
Yeah, really. All right, 9:52 here on this Friday morning. 34 degrees outside. We still got some fog out there, huh, Jim?
A little bit of fog, yeah. But coming in, the roads not enough moisture to cause any slippery going.
How's the rest of the day looking?
It looks like we're going to just have mostly cloudy skies and still a couple of light rain or snow showers, and temperatures, upper 30s to around 40. That's kind of uneventful. Matter of fact, today is likely to be the chilliest day we will have until maybe next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend, as I've been talking about. It looks like we're going to get some not extreme cold, but quite cold weather by the Super Bowl weekend, which the Patriots aren't in. But matter of fact, there is some chance I've been monitoring this, maybe if it speeds up enough, some rain for the Super Bowl because they're playing outdoors.
Santa Clara,
outside of San Francisco, and could be some rain for the Super Bowl. That'd be kind of interesting. But
and are you still going to do a brief weather update in the morning with Elaine? Are you on?
Yes, I will be. Yes, okay. She's back, and she's going to talk all about her goings on in Baltimore because she was stuck in that snowstorm,
right.
And she has a guest too. She emailed me. I can't remember. She's been on before, Donna Sprague.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Donna Sprague is coming in.
We're here for the next few moments. We have Dan McKerney and Jim Corbin back with us this morning. The history in Attleboro goes back so long. I mean, one of these days, you know, I'm going to try to get somebody from the Attleboro Industrial Museum. Who I wanted to get on was the former director, George Shelton, who ran it. And now Carlton Legg, who does a tremendous job here in the city of Attleboro now. He was a former educator in the city at the high school. But Jim Jones was telling me a few months ago, try to get George Shelton in studio with us. A couple of years ago when I was doing my own cable show, I had George on for a brief time on a TV show that I did and just brought out tons of information and stuff like that. A great mind he's got, you know, because he ran that for a number of years. So that might be he actually may be good to sit in here at some point too, you know, because he can, you know, it'd probably be the whole show with him, which is fine. But now, you, as far as other businesses here in Attleboro, you know, and we always like to talk about food, restaurants, the Fishnet, which the name on the Fishnet restaurant on South Main, right, is still there until they start moving things down because they're gonna renovate that portion, which the building is right next to the Larson Senior Center.
They're not gonna get rid of the Larson Senior Center.
Not at all.
Now that you mention it, Dom, when you said that, this is funny because the picture Jim was just asking me. Literally where the Fishnet sat, still does today, okay? Just in front of that, okay, well, not on the street, but to the side of it, there was a little diner. Shows on the picture here that there was literally a diner. So it's almost where, on the corner of the building that you could pull in for parking lot, that's where the diner was.
Wow.
Mulroney's Diner, I think it says, or something.
Yeah. Bill Mulroney's Diner on South Main Street, looking towards Park Street. Yeah, exactly. You know, that little house right there,
Still there.
Yeah, I am.
That's about 100 years old.
Now, I'm saying to the people like over here, like Bruce was just saying, I actually do remember that house, and I remember taking
video
around? Of it. No, it's not there anymore at all.
That was there until they tore it down.
Yeah, and I'm going to say probably in the early 90s.
Yeah, not that long. Yeah,
I do remember that.
And didn't the Ottawa Sun purchase? Purchased that for additional parking.
Did I also remember at some point that same building? Now, it may be wrong. I thought the Girl Scouts ran that for a while. Didn't a scouting
company? They could have. The only one that I know of is there up on 4th Street.
Yeah, for the Anderson House.
But they could have been.
Can you read what that is right there, that sign?
Big vertical sign right on. It looks like where Morin's roughly would have been, right?
Atherton's, I think.
Atherton's.
Atherton's Furniture right Atherton's across from the Senior Center, it used to be.
This is this is from 1921, and the sign was still there. Hmm. Atherton's.
Yeah,
Atherton's. Brownell Hardware on
Brownell Hardware was all in that same area as well. Yeah, I remember that name, Brownell. That was across from the Senior Center at diagonally.
That shows it on Railroad Ave, though.
Okay, yeah. Where the parking lot of the Sun Chronicle is, there I believe it was one of those buildings. There was that whole building was there, because I don't think they didn't have
it as one of the last
still
paved
in existence today.
Yeah,
they are really.
Yes, they are. What happened was, then they ended up relocating over here, closer to Leach and Garner's.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yes, you're right.
Leach and Garner's, the back end of Leach and Garner's, and then what happened was they were sold again, and then it was the Pelletier family that bought it. Was Pelletier's Automotive.
Oh, sure.
Mr. Pelletier bought it for his son Danny. Then they took it and they relocated it right into Pelletier's Automotive on Pine Street. It was next to my father's garage.
Right near
they did that for a number of years. Then they ended up buying Needham Hardware.
Near Zips Liquors.
Zips Liquors, absolutely. Then it got relocated. Then Danny decided he wanted to go out pretty much on his own away from his father. They went down and they bought the old Needham Hardware. They relocated it into Needham Hardware. Well, that really kind of took it out of it, because it was in this east side of the Attleboro, maintained here. For some reason, when they went all the way down to South Attleboro, it just didn't mushroom there.
Didn't it recently close, right?
They moved it again, and now it's over on Water Street, and that was another old factory, like it was Sugarman or something. It was some sort of a small factory, and I think it was kind of polluted, but they cleaned it up, and they moved in there, April, May, and June, School of Dance. They were in there.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
Right on the corner, I think it's Milk and
was it Hodges or
yeah, Hodges,
Riverbank,
I think.
In that area. Yeah. We only got about a minute left here. The other thing that I remember is the old Knights of Columbus Hall, right? Talking about that, right there at the corners of Sanford and Bank Street. Bank Street, I'm sorry. We're not talking about Bank. I'm talking about Riverbank and Hodges. That's it.
Riverbank and Hodges.
They were there for a number of years as well.
What's the deal with that, Dominic? That building is still standing there to this day.
I think people are still using that. I believe people are using that for storage now these days. And I don't know what is being used there now. I think I was talking to... God, who was I talking to? The veterans agent, maybe? Ken Bottichere a while back? And he said something. There's other things that are in there. To be honest, I'm not sure. Things are in there, but they're just using it for storage right now.
Sure. Nice of Columbus, they used to have bingo back then. There was all kinds
blood
of functions.
Blood drives every other month
blood
over
drives.
There. Yeah.
There was many, many functions back in the day there.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna have to continue this in another couple of weeks to finish off this next routine that we have. Dan McKerney and Jim Corbin back with us once again. Hopefully, they will be here next month as well. Gentlemen, thanks you once again.
Thank you.
Paul Healy is up next, of course, with Pontificating with Paul.
And the proletariat.
Proletariat is outside, still outside, waiting to come in. He's not letting him in right there. Until then, have yourself a great weekend. We'll be back here Monday morning at 6:00.